was that silent night when the stars turned their gaze to marvel at the earth. When the heavens gathered breathless round a lowly stable. When a young mother wept tears of worship, falling on the baby in her arms. And the song of the earth arose in Bethlehem, soft as the tender beating of his heart. And all was calm, all was bright. Yet could this be the same God of Abraham, the conqueror of Israel? This baby, this fragile life. Is this child the one who burned his name in rapture across the gasping skies? Whose voice spoke the oceans into crashing rhythms? Who crafted the mountains into guardians of the firmament? Whose hand ignited the thirst of the deserts and the warring surge of the elemental hosts? Who breathed life from dust, broke the oppressor's rule, scattered the chains of his people like sand, and led them through the wilderness with the pillar of flame? Is this child the one whose presence billowed thunderous on Sinai's peak? Who surrounded Job with the roaring wind, stood defiant in the raging furnace, wrote judgment against tyrants, and blazed on the lips of the prophets, scorching history's pages with the fury of his might? Could this be the same God who chose to come as the vulnerable king, setting his throne on straw and manger, drawing forth the tears of shepherds, receiving the gifts of wandering travelers, his fame unknown in this world? He is Jesus, the one who thunders through the heavens, yet whispers to our hearts, who reigns victorious, yet bows to serve the broken. He is God in the fury, God in the silence. He holds this mystery balanced in his hands, holds our questions till they lose their need, until all we see is him.
Good morning, MC3. It is good to see you all here today. And and Leslie's right. I sing way off key. So if I stood beside Johnny today and sung, Johnny, I'm sorry for what happened earlier. So I just love to worship and just have a good time. So nonetheless, you know me all too well, that's for sure. So, hey, listen, Wednesday night is happening this week. So if you are around, if you're not doing anything, make sure you come and be a part of our Wednesday night. In the summer, we kind of leapfrog a little bit. So we weren't here last Wednesday, but we'll be here this Wednesday on the 3rd. And so it's actually going to be a trivia night. I'm not going to tell you what trivia because I don't want you studying, right? And so we're just going to have a good time being together, and we'll enjoy that with one another. We always bring a dish to share, so if you've got something special you want to whip up, you can. Or if you just want to pull into Kroger and bring a bag of chips, we're good with that too. Doesn't matter to us. We'll have a good time. Hey, I don't often do this, so if you're new with us, don't go, hope he didn't call on me. But I want to say thank you to Eric and Vivian, and their family are here today. If I could just get you to do me a favor, just stand up real quick. This is Eric and Vivian and their family right here. They're in the town. And just for context, so Eric meets with Landon once a week in Southern, down at Statesboro, and helps to, they read scripture together, pray, that sort of thing, and he's been a great mentor to Landon. And so out of the bottom of this dad's heart, I thank you for ministering to my son. So what an incredible thing. It does kind of remind me that God is on the move, right? He is moving, and it's interesting to hear the ministry that you guys are doing in the lives of each other and even outside of those that may be a part of MC3. I'd love to hear your stories about how you are ministering to the people, wherever you are. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a part of that. We've been in a sermon series where we have been looking at the Old Testament feasts and applying them to New Testament. And it's been kind of fun. I don't know if you've enjoyed it. I've kind of enjoyed it. We read in Scripture, John 10:10, that it says that, well, let's go ahead and read it to you. It just says this: the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan does, right? But Jesus says, I've come, they may have life and have it abundantly, right? And now sometimes we may go, yeah, but Art, I don't see that abundant life, right? I'm not living that abundant life right now. I'm not going through it. And so sometimes it's a little harder to see, and you're like, I don't understand that. And I just know this: Satan wants us to think that God doesn't want us to have a good time. He wants God will destroy or knock over our Legos for whatever reason, and yet nothing can be further than the truth, right? Because Satan is the one, and sin is what keeps us from that abundant life. And yet God wants us to have that abundant life. He came to this earth. He sent his one and only Son to the cross to die for us so that we'd have that abundant life. He raised from the dead 3 days later so that we would have that abundant life, especially after this life is over with, right? And so we know that he wants us to have that abundant life. And I am convinced, and I've kind of said this all along, I'm convinced that God loves a good party. It's why Jesus went with tax collectors and sinners and went to their parties and enjoyed that party with them so that he might minister to them, because I think God wants us to have that abundant life. And I don't think we have to look very much further than the Old Testament feasts that God established, by the way, not the Jewish people, but God established it for the Jewish people. And those festivals and feasts were meant for them to have fun, for them to enjoy being together with one another, looking toward him, and just enjoying the food and enjoying the party that surrounded all of that. But also, too, as we have talked, these Old Testament feasts and festivals were also a reminder of God's provision and God's power and how he took care of his people through some tough times, how he saw them through things that nobody else could have gotten through, right? When the Egyptians were right hot on their tail and they were at the edge of the Red Sea thinking, uh-oh, we're trapped, God made a way, right? Parted the Red Sea, allowed them to walk across on dry ground. And so a lot of these feasts pointed back to God's power and God's provision. But here's the cool thing for you and for me. These feasts also are a foreshadowing of Jesus, which has been interesting to see. And so we talked about Passover and how Jesus is our Passover lamb. We talked about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and how Jesus is the bread of life. We've talked about Pentecost and how God came in power and the church began and sprung from there. And so those were the spring feasts that we talked about. Today, we're going to unpack the Feast of Trumpets. And let me just say this, that we have mentioned this all along throughout, and I want to make sure that I say this so that we're reminded of this, especially in times when times get tough. But just remember this. Remember that life with God is always more abundant than life without God, right? So I'm going to say that one more time so that in case you were asleep, you're like, hey, I missed something. What's up, right? Here you go. In case you were playing Candy Crush, here we go. Life with God is always more abundant than life without God. Always. And so the Feast of Trumpets are interesting to us because it kicks off the fall feasts. What's interesting is the spring feasts seem to help us kind of navigate our personal relationship with God. The spring feasts seem to point us to things in the future, which is interesting because the Feast of Trumpets is a little confusing, especially for a person that's not Jewish like me. So in Leviticus chapter 23, we get a little bit of information, just enough to kind of go, huh, what's that about this Feast of Trumpets. So in Leviticus 23, starting in verse 23, it says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you're to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord. And so we read that and we go, okay, that sounds great. I don't know what that's all about, but okay. But then we get a little more information in the book of Numbers. And so in Numbers, it says on the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. it is a day for you to sound the trumpets. As an aroma pleasing to the Lord, offer a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, seven male lambs, a year old, all without defect. With the bull, offer a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil. With the ram, 2/10. And with each of the seven lambs, 1/10. Include one male goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. These are in addition to the monthly and daily burnt offerings with their grain offerings and drink offerings as specified. They are food offerings presented to the Lord as a pleasing aroma. And so that's what we get on this Feast of Trumpets, this particular festival. And so for you and for me, we may look at that and go, so what's the big deal, right? What's up with this? I like how one commentator put it. He said this, of all the feasts, the Feast of Trumpets is the most concealed and shrouded in mystery. Whereas the other festivals commemorate an event from Israel's history or have a specific religious purpose around them, God's people were not told the reason to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets in the Scriptures. They were simply told to gather together and blow the shofar, which is the ram's horn, right? So when I say trumpets, it meant the ram's horn for them. So it makes it a little confusing for those of us who may be non-Jewish people, right, that are in the room to figure out, so what is this all about? And I think the mystery is on purpose. I think the mystery is meant to be that way, that it's meant to be mysterious to us, that we go, I don't know if I can really put my finger on why we're doing this. Although we do know that in this time, this would have been their fruit harvest when they would harvest a lot of the fruit. But here's what we do know about this feast. Just here's what we do know. The Feast of Trumpets, it was meant to be a time of preparation. We do know that it was meant to be a time of preparation, where God's people were to prepare themselves by repenting to the Lord and by turning back to Him. And so spiritually, they were to prepare themselves for what was about to take place with the other feasts, the Day of Atonement, and the Festival of Booths that was about to happen. And so we catch a sense, a little bit of this in Exodus chapter 19. Now, this feast does not commemorate them being at the foot of Mount Sinai, but there's some interesting parallels that are kind of here that's kind of interesting for you and for me. And so in Exodus 19, what we see is the Feast of Trumpets is kind of like a reminder of God's coming for us. I want you to listen here in Exodus 19. Listen to how God tells Moses that he is to prepare the people to meet with him at the base of Mount Sinai. Just kind of listen to this language. God says, and it says, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them, set them apart, cleanse them, right? Prepare them to meet with me today and tomorrow. He says, have them wash their clothes. So don't come with stinky socks, right? You come with the best you got, you be there and be ready by the third day, because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain. Set up cones, right? Put that caution tape out so they know not to cross that boundary onto the mountain. People aren't just supposed to rush up the mountain and meet with God. That's not the way it works. He says, tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only, now get this, this is kind of that sense of what we get from the Festival of Trumpets. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain. Only at that point in time. After Moses had gone down the mountain to tell the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. And then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Also abstain from sexual relations with one another. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. And then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like a smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. And so we kind of catch a sense of what this idea of the Feast of Trumpets is like by looking at Exodus 19 and how it's a preparation for the people to meet with God. And so they were to prepare themselves. And how do we prepare ourselves to meet with God? Well, we take an assessment of ourselves. We repent of our sin and we begin to turn back to the Lord and begin to mend the relationship that maybe we had broken along the way. So there's nothing between him and us. And in some ways, the Feast of Trumpets is a reminder to us of God's coming. It's a reminder of God's coming. And I know this is a sobering thought, and many of us don't like to think about this. This is one of those things we'd like to cover our ears and go, la, 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 I'm not listening, you know. We kind of lean into what we're doing on our tablet or on our phone right now. But one day, here's the thing, one day we will all stand before the Lord. That's just a reality. It's a reality. One day we will all stand before the Lord. It's appointed unto all people once to die, and after that, the judgment. And that's not always an exciting thing for us to think about. In fact, that's something that we would like to sometimes just forget about and distract ourselves from on purpose, right? So we don't have to think about it. We don't want to think about the fact that one day Jesus could return at any minute, or that at any minute we might just pass away and go meet with the Lord ourselves. Because we all know that we're not promised tomorrow, right? And you might be thinking, well, happy thought, Art. I know, I get it, right? But that's what this feast does. It points all of us to the fact that one day we will meet with him. And so the question that I have for you, question is, are you prepared? Are you ready? You know, when you go on a trip somewhere, if you're going to go on vacation, or maybe you got a hiking or a camping trip, you're going to get prepared for that camping trip, right? You're going to get prepared to go. And so the question is, are you prepared? If the Feast of Trumpets does anything for us, it reminds us of God's coming. Just as God came down and met with the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai, and just as Jesus, the Son of God, was born in a manger, lived among us, went to the cross, died for us, rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven. As those two events actually happen, it's fact, those things did happen, so will either our passing from this life or the Lord's final return. It's going to happen. One day we will meet with the Lord. That's a sobering thought. That kind of makes us kind of want to twist in our seat, right? Kind of go, I don't know if I want to hear that or not. I love what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And if you have your Bibles, can I just ask you this right now? Maybe you have your phone. I would ask that you would actually read this there. I know it's easy to read it on the screen, but if you got your Bibles, I would turn to 1 Thessalonians. And so if you go to in the New Testament, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, just keep on going until you get to 1 Thessalonians. The book after that is 2 Thessalonians. I would go there in chapter 5. This is one for you to kind of lean into. This is one for you to kind of think about and to kind of look at. And if you got a pen handy, underline it. Or maybe later on, this is one to underline. If you're on the YouVersion Bible app, the great thing is you can highlight right on there. If you click on that verse with your finger, just kind of hold on there, it'll give you an option to highlight it. And I encourage you to do that. And I encourage you, don't scroll Instagram right now, right? This is one to listen to, what Paul says here. This is one for us to lean into. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, he says this, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For we know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." The day of the Lord isn't, I mean, Sunday we may say, well, that's the day of the Lord, right? We know when Sunday's going to come. What he's talking about with the day of the Lord is the day of judgment, when they stand before the Lord, right? And so that's what he's talking about here. He says, it will come like a thief in the night. So get ready. Get ready. Get your life ready to meet him. Get your faith ready, right? Repent if you need to repent. Be baptized if you need to be baptized, but make sure that you are ready to meet him. He says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, they will not escape. We never know when God calls us home. We never know when this is going to happen, and so we need to be prepared for all of that. And we may be at this point in time going, Art, you're kind of step. I just kind of feel uneasy with all this, right? I don't even like going to funerals. But just hang on. Hang on. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of His, verse 4 is an incredible verse. Verse 4 is an incredible verse because there's a but you here. And when there's a but you here, that means it's a good thing for you and I, most part. This is what it says. But you, all right, here comes the good part. Listen in. Don't miss this, by the way, right? Don't miss it. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. In other words, don't love the world too much that you're shocked when Jesus appears, that you're shocked when you're standing before Him. Don't be brokenhearted to think about the fact that, well, I've got all these things I'd like to do. I mean, all these trips I'd like to make before. If we could get a sneak peek into heaven, do you think we would be worried about all the things we would love to do, knowing that we get to be in this place? Perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect love, perfection. God is there. We get a chance to hang out with Him. Oh, my goodness. So don't be shocked. Don't be brokenhearted when these things happen. He says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. MC3, listen to me very carefully. You are children of the day. You are not children of the night. You are warriors of the King, citizens of heaven. No matter what you go through, no matter how good or how bad it might be, no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens to our nation, no matter what happens during the election, no matter what happens in our community, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what happens in all of our lives, no matter what the enemy throws at us, we will never, ever, 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 ever give up on God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Never, ever give up on God. Don't do it. Do what Tim and Natalie did this week. It's interesting because Tim and Natalie were under heavy spiritual attack. And I love it as I'm texting Tim. He said, I just said, nice try, Satan. He went through, I mean, AC conks out, flat tires, all that. Christy and I were driving down and we see Tim he's riding on one of those electric scooters. And Christy was like, was that Tim? And I wasn't paying much attention. I said, well, I don't know. And she goes, I think that was Tim. I said, should we go back and like see if he needs a ride? She goes, man, he was smiling and just kind of, you know, and I was like, oh, well, I guess maybe he wants to go. I know he works close by. And they go, okay, great. So I text Tim later on. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. We should have stopped and picked you up. I don't know if that was you. But he goes, oh, yeah. And he starts sharing about all the stuff that happened. And then he was like, man, he goes, I was smiling and I was singing and I was just, you know, having a great time going to work. And that's it. We just got to make sure that we just say, hey, nice try, Satan. It's not going to work. I'm not going to give up on God. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what falls apart. I don't care what breaks. I don't care what the next hour brings, the next day brings. I'm still going to follow after God. I'm still going to follow Him. Remember, you are kingdom people first. Kingdom people first. It goes on to say this. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So in other words, stay away from sin. Stay away from sin. Don't cozy up to it. Don't belly up to it. Keep a lookout for the enemy because he will look for any way to get you, either coming or going. He'll try to get you any way. Verse 6 says, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. In other words, keep your head on a swivel. Keep praying. Keep reading the word. Keep serving the Lord. Keep showing up at church. Keep inviting others who need to walk one step closer to Him. Keep ministering to the people around you. Be alert. Be awake. Don't fall asleep because Satan is always out there. The enemy is out there. And yet we want to make sure that we're not falling into his trap. Verse 7, he says this, for those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk at night. I always told the boys, nothing good ever happens after midnight. Always required that they be home well before midnight, right? As best we could. Verse 8 says, but since you belong to the day, let us be sober, let us be aware, let us not be caught off guard, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. MC3, don't let Satan divide you against one another. Look at the people around you. Don't let Satan divide you against your brothers and your sisters. Don't let anything divide you. Don't let politics divide you. Don't let your opinions and stupid, silly arguments cause discord. Case in point, what your golf handicap is. I'm not going to say anymore. Not going to say anymore. Don't let your struggles divide you. Don't let the enemy into your camp. Watch out that the enemy doesn't get inside the wire. You are kingdom people first before you are a Democrat, before you're a Republican, before you're an American, before you're a UGA fan or a Georgia Tech fan or an Alabama fan, right? So they're kind of suspect, but no, that's okay, right? You are a kingdom person first. You're a citizen of heaven. This place, this world is not our home. Our home is with the Lord. So knowing all that, rise above all the division. Catch me in this. Just listen. Rise above all the division that is about to be sent on our nation and in our churches. You and I are called, and we're going to talk about this actually in the next sermon series in August in 2 Timothy, but you and I are called to keep our head in all situations. We don't let anything divide us. So be careful what you post. Keep your brothers and sisters in mind as you post. In fact, I would even say, make sure that you lean into, well, I'm just going to say it this way. Turn off the news and the political pundits. Instead, get on your knees and pray. Open His Word. Let God speak to you. Let God encourage you. Let God guide you. Let His agape love shine on those around you. And don't give in to fear. Don't give in to despair. Don't give in to depression. Because, oh man, here's the best part. This verse, okay, if you got your Bible, this is one to underline, highlight, circle, and put arrows on, right? I don't care how you, I mean, if you could put a neon sign in your Bible, this is one to do that. Verse 9 is incredible because here's what it says. It says, for God... Think about this. This is how incredible is this verse? For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. What wrath is He talking about? He's talking about hell. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's why Jesus went to the cross, to save us from eternal punishment, to save us from that wrath. You and I were not appointed to that. Because of what Jesus did at the cross and at the tomb. God has made a way for us. He has made a way for us to rise above what we might go through in this life. He sent His Son Jesus to save us from all of those things. That's how incredible this verse is. And then it says, He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I like how Jesus put this. Jesus says in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? I wouldn't have said that. But Jesus says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me that you may be where I am. We get so fearful of that next step. We get so fearful of the next life. I'm going to tell you something. If we got a sneak peek into it, we'd go, Lord, I don't know if I want to go. I don't know if I want to go back. I want to be there. That's our home. I love the scene in the third movie of The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. In this scene, enemies at the gate. And about ready to break through. And it's the scene where Gandalf and Pippin are facing certain death. And Pippin says, he says this, just as there's pounding on the door and the enemy's almost in. He says, I didn't think it would end this way. And Gandalf looks at him and says, end? Oh, the journey doesn't end here. Death is just another path. one that we all must take. The great curtain of this world rolls back and it all turns to silver glass. And then you see it. Then you see it. And Gandalf almost goes into euphoria thinking about this because he's seen it before. And he's just thinking about it. He's kind of stares off and just gazes out somewhere else. And Pippin is waiting for the rest of the sentence. And finally he says, "What? Gandalf, see what?" And Gandalf smiles as if he can kind of see it with his own eyes. And he says, "The white shores and beyond a far green country into a swift sunrise." Pippin says, he's encouraged by it. He smiles and he says, "Well, that isn't so bad." And Gandalf smiles even bigger. He says, No, it isn't. See, what the Feast of Trumpets does for us, what it's intended to do for us, is it's meant for us to put our perspective from off of this world and onto the Lord, onto that far green country. So the question is, how do we do that, right? How do we get ready? Well, the Feast of Trumpets was meant to help us repent and prepare to meet with the Lord, to meet with Him. The Feast of Trumpets ushered in two really important feasts that the next couple of weeks Gerardo will unpack. It's the Day of Atonement and the Festival of the Booths, all of which were celebrated one right after another in many ways, kind of like we celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. This is kind of the way it was meant to be. And so you got the Day of Atonement about to happen, and then you got right after that the Festival of Booths. It was called the 10 Days of Repentance or the Days of Awe. I like how one commentator put it. He said this: the trumpet sound was an alarm of sorts that can be understood as a call to introspection and repentance. Kind of that question of, how's my relationship with the Lord? Am I ready? Am I ready to meet with Him at any moment? I liken it to our time of communion, where Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 that we should examine ourselves. That we should examine ourselves and take an assessment of our lives with Christ and our relationship with Him, and ask ourselves, is there anything I need to repair? Is there anything I need to ask for forgiveness for? Is there anything I need to repent of and turn from before I partake of communion? I'm reminded of what Jesus says to the church in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. Leslie and Joshua and I read it this week at Huskers, and I read that. I was like, oh my goodness, I got to use that in the sermon. But Jesus says this: "To the angel in the church at Sardis write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds." Jesus knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. He sees everything. Everything in the dark, He sees it. He says, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." They had fooled themselves. They had no idea. They had not examined themselves before a holy God to see where they actually stood with Him. They assumed that they were okay, and God and Jesus Himself says, "Yeah, you have a reputation of being alive. You pat yourselves on the back for that, but in reality, you're dead." He says in verse 2, "Wake up. Strengthen what remains as it is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you've received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." Man, that's scary. It'd be scary to get that letter, wouldn't it? To know that God had shared it. But in His mercy and in His grace, He shared it before they were before His throne. You see, the Feast of Trumpets is a call to prepare and repent to the Lord, to examine ourselves, to be ready. So the question I have is, have you repented? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you following the Lord? Are you following Him? This is a great question, not for you to ask me, like, all right, I don't know, I'm asking this question, what do you think? Don't ask me. This is a question for you to get on your knees and ask the Lord. Maybe it goes something like this: "Lord, how's my relationship with you? Am I really following you, or am I just snowing myself?" Because I'm going to tell you something, the person I deceive the most is the guy in the mirror. I don't know if you're like me, but that's the guy that I deceive the most. And this is a question for God. God, how am I doing with you? Am I following you? What are the areas of my life that I need to turn over to you? What are the areas that I just still got stuck in a corner that I've just never given over to you? Where, God, do I stand with you? That's a great question for us to ask, for us to ask the Lord. And that's what the Feast of Trumpets was meant to do for the people of Israel. And that's, in some ways, what we need to do every Sunday, every day. God, here I am. How are we doing, Lord? I want to make sure that my relationship with you is tight. Very interesting feast. Finally, the Feast of Trumpets prepares us for Jesus' return. It prepares us for his return. What's interesting about the spring feast, as we mentioned earlier, Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, all talked about what seemed to deal with our personal relationship with God, right? With the things that God has done for us personally so that we might draw close to him. But the fall feast seemed to prepare us for future events, for Christ's rule, for his reign on earth. The Feast of Trumpets prepares us for the Lord's return. One commentator mentioned the sound of the shofar elevates the hearts of men and women with a sense that the king is coming, that he's on his way. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." And then he says this, "Therefore," and whenever there's a therefore, we should always ask what that therefore is. Oh my goodness. Okay. When we get a therefore, right? We should always ask, what is that therefore?
Therefore.
Therefore. That's right. What is it therefore? He says, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." You see, these were all meant to encourage us, not to scare us, not to freak us out, not to make us kind of cower in the corner going, I just can't deal with this. I don't want to listen. It was meant for us to lean into and be excited about and be encouraged. At the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus simply says this, "Look," in other words, pay attention, "recognize I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done." So I guess the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? I know that this is sobering. I know this is in many ways a scary kind of question, but are you ready? But as citizens of heaven, listen, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be frightened. To live with Christ, how do I want to put this? How does the scripture put it? To live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, as Paul says, to die is gain. You see, for you and me, it's a win-win. It's a win-win. So I ask you the question, are you good to go? Are you good to go? May we all not be worried, not be scared. May we all, like Gandalf, smile in anticipation of those white shores and that far green country. May we all, like the Apostle Paul, be able to confidently say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but all who have longed for his appearing." Do you long for his appearing? Do you long to see him? In many ways, that's what the Feast of Trumpets does. It kind of gets us ready and prepared to see the Lord, whether or not that's us going, you know, passing away and going to be with him, or the Lord coming back for all of us. Are you ready? Are you good to go? Are you good to go? Some of you may not know. Maybe you may not know where you stand with that. Here in just a little bit, we're going to take communion. Just to let everybody know, to make sure that you understand what we're going to do, we have it down front here. It's also in the back. We do this every Sunday. It's a great opportunity just to meet with the Lord. We encourage you to come and be a part of it. And so here in just a little bit, as you come either up front or in the back, you're going to get communion, and I'll be right over here. Gerardo will be over here, or vice versa, whichever. I don't know how that's going to work. I guess Gerardo's over there, so he'll be over here. If you are like, I don't know if I'm ready, I have no clue, then maybe that's a question you get with us and say, how do I make sure that I'm ready? You know, we'll ask you some questions. What have you done to get ready, right? We'll ask those questions. But maybe you need to ask us that. Maybe to come and just kind of say, I need to repent. I need to be baptized. I haven't done that yet. Let's make that happen, Captain, right? Let's do that. But if, maybe for some of you, it's just, I need to pray. Lord, I just need someone to pray with me because I'm so scared about that, what might happen. And I get that. It's scary sometimes to think about what might happen to go be with the Lord. And so let us pray with you to help encourage you, to help lift you up. Maybe you got certain things in your life right now that you're like, Art, I'm just not feeling God's abundance. I'm just not feeling it. My health is a wreck, or my emotions are everywhere, or whatever it is. Let us pray with you. We'll be down front. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you notice the nails. There's nails on the tables back here. On the nails, there's some markers back there. You can write one word or a small phrase as to what your prayer is. Maybe it's a prayer that you need to pray. Maybe it's for someone else that you know is not ready and not good to go. Write their name. Put it on the cross. It's a reminder for us that there's multiple prayers that we're still praying for people, right? The nails that are in the jar, man, those are prayers that God has answered. And so if you've had a prayer that's been answered, first of all, good luck finding your nail, right? So skip has made a way, by the way. At the very bottom, I haven't mentioned this, at the very bottom, there's some papers down there. You can mark, skip has made it easy for us, kind of idiot-proof. So we can mark where our nail is, right? And that way you can take it with you and you kind of know where it's at. But I encourage you to get your nail. If that prayer has been answered, drop it in the jar. There's no better sound than the clink. Last week, someone dropped, I was praying with someone and someone dropped it in. I'd love to hear you guys say amen and get excited about that. What an incredible thing. But maybe you need to be praying for someone to get ready. They're not ready yet. Maybe you need to write their name down and put it on the cross. My hope is that because God does answer prayers, that all those nails would be stripped and be put in the jar as a reminder of how God does answer prayer. God does answer prayer. So we're going to take communion here in a second. And you know what's interesting about the Feast of Trumpets is that during the feast, there would be 100 shofar blasts. So in other words, from the ram's horn, not from a regular trumpet, but from a shofar, from a ram's horn blast. There would be 100 of them that would be scattered in a mixed a prayer service that would be done and would culminate with one final blast. It was known as the last trumpet. Maybe you've heard about the last trump, right? And that's what this is. That's that last long blast of that shofar. The person, by the way, who bellows that last trumpet sound, sounds the horn until he has expended every last bit of air from his lungs. And so it is. You ever tried that when you were a kid? You just kind of, either sing out or just yell out until you just didn't have anything left. You know, maybe who could go the longest, right? And so in a similar fashion, this person would blow that shofar blast until they didn't have any more air in their lungs. I saw that the other day, and it reminded me of Matthew 27, where Jesus is on the cross. It says in Matthew 27, from noon until about 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. By the way, whenever you hear, read the shofar blast, it can also be translated as a cry out, which is kind of interesting. And it says that in a loud voice, Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, One of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And I like verse 50. Listen to verse 50. Listen to how it connects with the last trump. It says, "When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice," when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. What's interesting, thinking about the fact that Hebrew word for last trumpet blast can also mean cry out, is that Jesus, in a sense, offered up the last trumpet. In other words, he gave everything he had, all the air out of his lungs. He gave up for you and for me, every last bit. And then he died on the cross. He gave everything for us. And so today, as we partake of this bread and we partake of the cup, be reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And because of that sacrifice, we don't have to worry, be scared, or wonder where we're going to spend eternity, right? We don't have to worry about that. Jesus paid it all for you and for me. He paid our debt so that we could live with him forever. And so my question to you is, are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet with the Lord? That's the beautiful thing about communion. We get a chance every Sunday to push everything aside, even for just a moment, and just spend some time with him. So let me encourage you today. Maybe you take it and take the bread and drink the cup and you go back and sit down and you take that opportunity just to spend with him. Or maybe you take it back to your seat and you just take that opportunity to spend with him. Or maybe you take it to the tables and maybe you just kind of get on your knees and you just spend some time with him. Be prepared today. Don't walk out of here unprepared to meet with the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for what you have done for us. Lord, we would never be able to repay what you've done. We would never be able to thank you enough, praise you enough, work enough, serve enough, preach enough, do enough, Lord God, to ever repay you. And it's not the point. Lord, you did it because you loved us and cared for us, and you wanted us to be with you. You gave up every bit of yourself, poured it all out for us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Lord, as we come today and we remember your sacrifice, we remember that last breath you breathed, we also are thankful that 3 days later, you walked out of that tomb alive. Breath re-entered your body. You were born, Lord God, again in many ways. And so can we be. And so, Father, I pray, Lord God, for those that need to be reborn. Lord, today they make that decision. Father, I pray today that those of us who just need to repent and just draw close and begin to give you areas of our life, Father, I pray that we do that today. And Father, I thank you that because of the cross, we have that opportunity. We give you praise and we give you glory for all of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.